Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, August 28, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we continue on with the doctrine of the glory of God. And the glory of God has many different connotations and nuances in the Scriptures, and we are studying those. Point seven was glory is used to describe the spiritual maturity of the believer. For spiritually mature believers form the basis for the recognition of God's glory, Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. We recognize the glory of God as we grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and find out and discover who and what He is, His essence, His grace, His policy. The righteousness and justice of God pursues us with grace for the purpose of blessing us. And then point eight, the riches of spiritual maturity, those greater grace blessings, come from the glory of God. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, Ephesians 3, 16, Philippians 4, 19. And that brings us to point nine, the spiritually mature believer has received this glory, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. So turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. The spiritually mature believer has received this glory, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. First Peter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials and testings. And that is a suffering for blessing that comes to the spiritually mature believer. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and achieve the objective of spiritual adulthood, now you're qualified. You're qualified for God to bring into you a very special category of blessing. Suffering for blessing. And that's what we have here. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials and testing. We study this under spiritual hurdling. Suffering for blessing. The believer in spiritual adulthood is qualified for special suffering for blessing, persecution, all different kinds of things. And that gives you the opportunity to run hurdles. Now, you won't find hurdles anywhere in the Bible, but you will find track and field in the Bible because God loves track and field. He hates soccer. No, I just that I haven't found soccer in the Bible, that's all. I know he likes baseball because it says in the beginning, in the beginning. So I know he likes baseball. I know he likes track and field. And I was a hurdler. And I don't run physical hurdles anymore. It's very funny if you really see how I motate. But I do run spiritual hurdles. And I love running hurdles. I don't care if it's physical hurdles or spiritual hurdles. Suffering for blessing is a great opportunity. God has given us everything we need by His grace and His power. Through His problem-solving devices, we learn them, we apply them, and we clear those hurdles. And when we do, we glorify God in the process of doing that. That's the spiritually mature believer. You get to run hurdles. And a lot of you have been running hurdles. Karen Collins down here, she ran hurdles with back surgery. She cleared the hurdles. She's back. Here she is. She's running hurdles. Rick Castile's running hurdles. He's got infection in his shoulder. A lot of people in here are running hurdles. Spiritual hurdles. And it gives you the opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. The Apostle Paul probably ran more hurdles than any believer of all time. And he says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul got it. And once he realized that, he continued to have great suffering for blessing. But he cleared those hurdles and glorified God to the maximum. Now here is Peter's. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials and testings. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's revealed at the rapture of the church, and then we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Spiritually mature believer. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. You haven't seen Him, but you love Him. Occupation with Christ. You've attained spiritual maturity. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible happiness. The other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ is sharing the happiness of God. And then what? Full of glory. Full of glory. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ as the mature believer. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible happiness. You share the happiness of God. Full of glory. The spiritually mature believer has received this glory. 10. Glory is used to describe the strategic victory of Christ in the angelic conflict, which qualified by His work on the cross to bring many sons into glory. Glory is used to describe the strategic victory of Christ in the angelic conflict, Operation Grace, fulfilling His salvation work on the cross in order to bring many sons into glory. Turn over to Hebrews 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. This is the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling Operation Grace, His salvation work on the cross, making it possible for those who believe in Him to be brought into glory, bringing many sons to glory. This verse is constantly in my mind and constantly in my personal prayers. As you pray, and I know many of you at you look forward every day to pray. We are witnessing the wheels coming off the wagon all over the world, in America. And yet we know that Jesus Christ controls history. And the satanic attack of Russia on the Ukraine, there are a lot of Christians in the Ukraine. A lot of Christians in the Ukraine. And I keep praying for them that they will be channels of God's grace and tools in His hand to proclaim establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth, all throughout the nation Ukraine, that many sons might be brought into glory during this time right now. What a time! What a test! What Russia is doing is totally evil and satanic. And there are many, many Christians in the Ukraine, and they are having a tremendous impact on that entire nation, that many sons might be brought into glory. And I pray that God would open the eyes of people all over the world in the time in which we live to see Jesus Christ and the grace gospel, that many sons might be brought into glory. And I thank God for the open doors He's provided for Upland Bible Church. The open doors He provided to go to the adult daycare centers all over Las Vegas and southern Nevada and proclaim the grace gospel. And I pray that many sons would be brought into glory from the adult daycare centers. I thank Him for the open doors provided for Upland Bible Church to go to Indian Springs and proclaim the grace gospel there again and again. And I pray that many sons might be brought into glory from Indian Springs as a result of hearing the grace gospel. I thank Him for the open door He provided for Upland Bible Church to go to Child Haven and proclaim the grace gospel there. And I pray that many sons might be brought into glory from Child Haven during these times. That's what is involved. This verse, Hebrews 2:10, is very, very powerful, and as you develop your personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, this will become very important to you. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. So God brings many sons to glory. Let's do a couple of sub-points underneath point 10. One, God brings many sons to glory by judging our sins in Christ on the cross, so that when we believe in Christ, we enter into a relationship with His glory. God brings many sons to glory by judging our sins in Christ on the cross, so that when we believe in Christ, we enter into a relationship with His glory. Two, we receive the imputation of God's righteousness, which is the potential for blessing from the integrity of God. We receive the imputation of God's righteousness at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith, which is the potential for great blessing from the integrity of God. 11. Christ was taken up into the place of glory following his work on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then he ascended to the right hand of God the Father, to the place of glory, which is the third heaven. 1 Timothy 3:16. Turn over to 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3:16, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was proclaimed among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory. Christ was taken up into the place of glory, which refers to the third heaven. 12. The royal family of God is called to eternal glory, since Christ is seated in the place of glory. The royal family of God is called to eternal glory, since Christ is seated in the place of glory. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, suffering for blessing, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And then look right over at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. Even the word godliness, even your spiritual life, through the epinosis knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and virtue. Who called us to His own glory and virtue. So the royal family is called to eternal glory, since Christ is seated in the place of glory. 13. Therefore, the resurrection body. We're living in our physical body. We have a resurrection body that we will receive. Therefore, the resurrection body is described in terms of glory. 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection body is described in terms of glory. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. That's the resurrection body. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. So the resurrection body is described in terms of glory. 1 Corinthians 15:42-43. A couple of things underneath that one. Our resurrection body is raised in glory because we are in the status quo of eternal life. Our resurrection body is raised in glory because we are in a status quo of eternal life. Two, we will live forever in a state of glory. We will live forever in our resurrection body in a state of glory. Three, we will share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ because we will have a resurrection body exactly like His resurrection body. We will share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ because we will have a resurrection body exactly like His resurrection body. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ because we will have a resurrection body exactly like His resurrection body. So the resurrection body is described in terms of glory. Now, 14. Here's an interesting use of glory in the Scriptures. The wife is called the glory of her husband. The wife is called the glory of her husband. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for long hair is given to her as a covering. Now, a couple of things. One, the woman's long hair is a glory to the woman. The woman's long hair is a glory to the woman. Two, however, long hair on the male is dishonorable. The wife is called the glory of the husband. 15. In 15, we have some other uses of glory. First of all, glory is used for the wonders of the universe. Glory is used for the wonders of the universe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 40. 1 Corinthians 15:40-41. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40, there are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the glory of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of glory, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in glory. And every one of these, the word is our word, doxa, the Greek word for glory. So the wonders of the universe are described as having a glory. Secondly, there is human glory. There is a human glory, and there's nothing fantastic about human glory. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. Now you're going to learn something about human glory. 1 Peter 1:24. For all men are like grass, and all their glory, human glory, is like the flowers of the field. Now what does that tell you right there? Now I'm not an expert. Debbie is an expert on flowers, and her father was an expert on flowers. The only thing I know about flowers is they're here until the sun gets real hot and they're gone. Or the wind blows hard and they're gone. Or the rain blows hard and they're gone. They're very, very temporary. That's human glory. All men are like grass, and all their human glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. What's more important, human glory or God and His glory? The word of the Lord stands forever. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. Verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes, for as I have often told you before, and now I say again, even with tears. Why is he saying this with tears? Because he's talking about people that he knows, believers that he gave, people he gave the gospel to, and they believed in Christ as their Savior. Believers who at one point were very positive and had humility and were growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Then they reacted somewhere down the line. They reacted, peeled off, and now they're living in Satan's cosmic system. So he says, for I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears. These are many believers who have failed. They now live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. Their God is their emotions. And their glory, their human glory, is to their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. They're preoccupied with earthly things, not God and His Word. 16. God is glorified and receives glory forever and ever and ever when He delivers the winner believer in times of great suffering for blessing. God is glorified and receives glory forever and ever, forever when the He delivers the spiritually mature believer in times of great suffering for blessing. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. And the illustration is perhaps the greatest believer of the church age, the Apostle Paul. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, Paul writes, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. And to him be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Apostle Paul had lots and lots and lots of suffering for blessing. Why? Because he was qualified. Only the winner believers are qualified for suffering for blessing. He had the privilege of running spiritual hurdles, and he did again and again and again and again. And he was delivered by the grace and power of God. He saw the grace and power of God deliver him again and again and again. He cleared hurdles after hurdle after hurdle. And he saw the grace and the power of God deliver him. And as he stands before the judgment seat of Christ and is evaluated, he will have crowns and rewards given to him that will glorify God for all eternity. And that is true of every winner believer. You will have crowns and rewards given to you at the judgment seat of Christ, and those crowns and rewards will glorify God forever and ever. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives, for we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.